Public health officials are calling attention to women's drinking lately. Last year, the Centers for Disease Control released a report on women and binge drinking. Several books on the topic have also led to a lot of debate. Reporter Tanya English is here to walk us through the issues. Hi, Tanya.
Hey, Maiken. So when I say the term risky drinking, what comes to mind?
I don't know. Girls gone wild, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. I think of that too. A lot of us do associate problem drinking with young people in college. So we spoke with a public health professor to better understand alcohol consumption on campus. And then we headed out to a bar near Bryn Mawr to speak with some Wednesday night drinkers.
My name's Abby. I'm from Ardmore. I like Malibu Bay Bruises. I like Thaka Bay Bruises. I have a wonderful tolerance to fruity drinks.
The binge drinking definition had been five or more drinks on a single occasion. My name is Tobin Nelson, and I'm an associate professor of epidemiology and community health at the University of Minnesota. Women were experiencing problems at the same level as men after they had consumed fewer drinks. So we went back and changed the definition for women to four or more drinks on a single occasion.
You know, I don't really count.
My name is Faith Parkway. I'm from Tennessee. Binge drinking. I think it's when your motive for drinking is to become blackout drunk and do stupid things that you would not do sober.
Shama-lama ding dong.
In some ways, individual students are too deep in the bucket to be able to see kind of what's going on other than what's sort of in their immediate environment. In a culture where there's lots of people around them who are drinking, that just seems normal.
So I was drinking gin. I was drinking a lot of it. It was before I really understood how alcohol works, and I thought it was normal to just fill up cups with it. And I woke up and I was bald. It was a nice buzz cut, which, you know, was not a totally unpopular haircut. So people thought I was pretty cool. I didn't tell them all, you know, that it was an accident and that I didn't remember it.
Cheers!
We're talking about women and alcohol consumption with reporter Tanya English. Just heard from some Wednesday night drinkers there in the bar. Tanya, is the main health concern around young women?
No, not only young women, but that's where the story starts. The increase in women's drinking really began in the late 1990s with the launch of a new category of flavored, fruity, sometimes carbonated adult beverages. David Jernigan from Johns Hopkins is really worried about how this new category is being marketed to women.
So we've got Smirnoff Ice, we've got Mike's Hard Pink Lemonade, Pucker grape-flavored vodka.
It may be a surprise to find this stash in the office of a public health professor, but these bottles with their bright pink and purple labels, they're part of Jernigan's work. He tracks alcohol advertising.
We've seen a shift in the culture of women's drinking, and there's a big marketing piece of that.
Jernigan says any kind of education message is overwhelmed by the weight of marketing claims.
Entertain like a lady. Meet the new girl. Introducing the smooth, sassy, and low-cal Skinny Girl White Cherry Vodka.
It's a smart drink. It's the drink you want to drink when you're training for a marathon. It's a full-speed beer. And, of course, it's a diet beer. Their job is to sell the product. My job is to warn people about the danger of the product and to try to make sure that the people do not consume it in an unhealthy or harmful way.
The liquor industry has a code of conduct for its advertising. While Jernigan finds lots of ads aimed at women that he believes are degrading or lewd, there doesn't seem to be much of a consumer outcry. In all of 2013, there were just two complaints filed with the Distilled Spirits Council. Spokeswoman Lisa Hawkins says the industry is responsive to its consumers, and she says about half of those consumers are women.
So it's perfectly reasonable and appropriate for our companies to be able to develop and responsibly market products that appeal to women's taste and lifestyle choices.
To suggest otherwise is kind of sexist, according to Julie Gunlock. She's a commentator with the Independent Women's Forum, which opposes government regulation that gets in the way of free markets.
To say that women are victimized by this marketing, my goodness, they're so gullible. They put a high heel on a wine bottle and women just, you know, can't control themselves.
There's been a lot of talk lately about brands such as Mommy Juice and Skinny Girl, but Gunlock says there's been very little discussion about the millions of women who consume alcohol responsibly.
So we're trying to sort of hit back on the alarmism and remind women that we are not becoming like this population of boozed up moms. We just aren't. This just isn't happening, and yet the narrative out there is that it is.
Overall, excessive drinking is much more common among men. But last year, the Centers for Disease Control made the point that binge drinking among women is an under-recognized problem. Back at Johns Hopkins, David Jernigan doesn't mind pulling the alarm bell.
I have to look for the canary in the coal mine. We look at the UK, for example, where this started happening in the early 90s, not the late 90s. 20 years later, the United Kingdom has an epidemic of liver cirrhosis and liver cancer among women in their 20s. The cancer docs in the UK are blown away. They have never seen anything like this.
Women process alcohol differently than men, and that makes women more vulnerable to alcohol-related health risks.
It's also a huge problem because for young women, alcohol can cause problems for the fetus. This is a product that's responsible for example, 15% of breast cancer cases. We're not talking about the heart deaths. If you drink alcohol heavily over an extended period of time, you hurt your heart and you will die of alcohol-related heart disease.
Jernigan says if the level of advertising to women reaches the same level as for men, because of our biological differences, the harms for women will be greater.
Tanya, as I was listening to this information about ad campaigns specifically targeting women, I was thinking of, you know, the girls we met at the bar earlier. What do we know about older women and drinking?
For that part of the story, I spoke with Anne Dowsett Johnston. She's a journalist who wrote about her own experience in the book Drink, the intimate relationship between women and alcohol. Johnston says that she's the poster child for the modern alcoholic. She's female, she's middle-aged, she's professional, well-educated, and high bottom.
Okay.
That means Johnston had a big problem with white wine. For her, rock bottom actually looked pretty good on the surface. Given all that, I asked her what she did lose to drinking.
I lost my self-respect. I was losing my relationship with my 22-year-old son, who knew very much that I was drinking to pass out. Most people, women who are drinking too much, isolate and drink at home and drink at home alone. And I was hiding all of this from my best friend.
Why were you drinking?
I was definitely self-medicating depression. My depression was severe. My mom was cross-addicted for many, many years, decades, in fact, to Valium and alcohol. And I was so determined never to touch a pill, never to touch an antidepressant. And in choosing to do that, I avoided the kind of help that I should have been seeking a long, long time ago to deal with depression.
You've said that one of the rudest questions people ask is, how much did you drink? So I've got to ask, how much did you drink?
Near the end, I was definitely drinking a bottle of wine a night, and then I would often open a second bottle and have maybe one more glass. And near the very, very end, I was switching to vodka. I was switching to vodka hoping that I could get that buzz faster and be out of myself, out of my own skin more quickly.
You talk about the gap between women's drinking and men's drinking narrowing. Tell me more about that.
We are seeing the largest spike for women in heavy drinking between the ages of 24 and 36 years old. And if you're seeing a spiking of drinking in that age group, and primarily in the professional and better educated group of women, you have to say, why in that age group where typically women would graduate from college and they would slow down? They're not slowing down. They're not slowing down as young professionals. And I think it's worth asking the question why.
I worry that this discussion blurs the lines between any drinking and problem drinking.
I think that's a fair comment. I don't want to be a fearmonger. All I want to say is know your limits, know what safe drinking guidelines are, count your drinks, and you won't get into the same kind of trouble as I'm in. Nobody knows where that difficult line is that you cross when you become addicted to alcohol. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. We haven't had an adult discussion about alcohol.
How did you recover?
I went to rehab in the United States. It was enormously expensive. 30 days of treatment. I'm doing yoga. I'm doing meditation. I'm getting all sorts of education on alcohol and what to do about triggers and what to do about cravings. And I think I'm well armed for the real world. And I am drop kicked back into my old life. All the buttons are being pushed and they're being pushed hard. And before you know it, I've got maybe a month of sobriety and I'm drinking again. For 8 months, I could not pace together more than 2 or 3 weeks of sobriety and I would fall off the wagon. And it was humbling. It was difficult. I had to really learn how to live in the real world sober. I am a person in recovery. 23 million plus Americans live in recovery, pay their taxes, go to jobs, good to their families, have been able to cope with their addiction. The voices of these people are going to be increasingly important.
So are you the poster child now for someone in recovery?
Oh my goodness, I would never claim to be that. I take my recovery really seriously. I babysit it every day by taking care of myself, by going to meetings. It takes some concerted effort. I honestly believe that my addiction is out in the parking lot right now doing push-ups just waiting for me to slip.
Ann Dowsett Johnston's book is Drink, The Intimate Relationship Between Women and Alcohol. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tanya.
Tanya English produced our look at women and drinking with help from Laura Benchoff. To read an excerpt from Johnston's book, Drink, go to whyy.org/thepulse.